I want to acknowledge all my the team members. It was an interdisciplinary team composed by 3 epidemiologists, 4 lawyers, and 1 economist to see the legal options of ARV prices. I think it's important to know some things about Mexico so then we can understand why are the difficulties in the ARV's price. Mexico has made considerable efforts to provide adequate treatment to people who live with AIDS. Previous data suggested that Mexico pays higher prices of ARVs. The current cost of ARVs in the public sector is estimated to be $250 million per year. This means it's almost 40% of the entire budget of the catastrophic disease fund that is managed by the Ministry of Health. So this situation really compromises that fund, and that doesn't help if you want to include other things in the catastrophic disease fund. So we think that price could be reduced with different, for example, with political will, with appropriate price negotiation and procurement policies. We should have mechanisms to ensure that prices are not excessive, and we don't have that. And we should be careful when we sign international treaties. We should be careful in public health issues. In Mexico, we have a concentrated epidemic. It's the HIV prevalence. It's 17% with men who have sex with men and 6% with drug users. We have a universal coverage at antiretroviral therapy. We have a high level of coverage, 80% in 2011. 60 provided by Seguro Popular, that is the insurance of the Ministry of Health, and 30% by social security institutions. We will explain a little bit more about this later. And independent procurement and distribution process, and that's a problem. We really need to strengthen institutions involved in negotiation process as well as professional participating. Mexico, as you know, it's a middle-income country, and it has a system, a divided system for access to health care by employment status. 42% of the population, it's in the formal sector employees and have all the benefits, including all preventive and medical necessary hospital physician services. They have ARVs since 1997. People outside the formal sector are covered by a limited voluntary subsidized service insurance since 2003, when it was created Seguro Popular, and ARVs was included since then, since the time of the creation. So the Mexican public medical system provides free ARV for all Mexicans covered by these two systems. So almost everybody can be covered with ARVs. One thing that it is very important to understand is that we have a complicated system to have a new drug submission, because the first step is that it is going to be evaluated by COFEPRIS, it's our federal commission, for safety, efficacy, and quality, and other production, packing, and labeling therapeutic claims and side effects. So the first step is going to COFEPRIS, and then if it is going to be used for the public health sector, the new drug also needs another approval, that is by the Healthcare Supplies Catalog Commission. This commission always requires an economic evaluation for the drug to be listed before being used in the public center or provided by the public sector. So the prices paid to the manufacturer for medicines listed in the Healthcare Supplies Catalog are negotiated by the government in a special commission called the Coordinating Commission for negotiating the price of medicine and other health inputs. And we have several problems that were going to be listed in this Coordinating Commission. So here we can see more or less how it goes. We don't have almost any ARVs in general public, many of them are in the public sector. First it goes to COFEPRIS, then to the public sector, Healthcare Supplies Catalog Commission, and then we will make a difference when it's about a patent drug and only source drugs, and when it is about a generic drug. When it's a generic drug, we have the price set by public tender, but when it is in patent drugs, the price is set by this commission every year. So The study's main objective is to conduct a comparative study of ARV prices to assess Mexico's performance, to determine potential legal options for price reduction in Mexico according to its domestic and international legal frameworks, and perhaps here are the most difficult part, and to identify any regulatory or legal barriers which could impede long-term price reduction of ARV. So we have 70 patent, 8 generic drugs, 11 ARV with no other generic version available. So the market, as you can see, is highly concentrated in the patent drug. And as we said before, it was a 40% of the catastrophic fund. That means that we pay 4 to 10 times higher prices than other high middle income countries, for example, if we compare it to Brazil. Here are some graphics. As you can see, it doesn't matter if we are using Caletra, Truvada, Atanasavir, or Atripla. It doesn't matter the name of the medicine which we are using. The thing is that Mexico pays much more than other middle-income countries, as you can see in the four graphics. I'm not going to talk about of each graphic because we have there in a poster that makes them part of the team. So you can see it if you are interested later on. But it is important just to notice that Mexico constantly is paying more. As results, we saw that we have legal structural problems, legal framework problems, and those are the most difficult to change, and medical problems. In the legal structural problems, we see that, on the one hand, it's good that we started with the Coordinating Commission for Negotiating the Price of Medicines. But the impact of this commission, when it started, it was very good to negotiate the price, but then it diminished the importance of the coordinating commission. In the legal framework, I say that I think it's the most important problem, it's because the national statutes and international provisions that we have, it's like we've been signing a lot of international things without taking care of the public health issues. So that doesn't help to the acquisition or lower the price in drugs. In the medical, the ARV patients, when they are in one scheme, it is very difficult to switch them easily to another scheme, even though here we made it from Truvada to Atripla already, but it is not easily to be changing from one scheme to the other. So most of the ARV prescribed in Mexico are either patent or on the source. It is important to know that in Mexico, our legal framework is established, our Mexican constitution, where we have the health as a human we have health as a human right. We also sign a lot of human rights treaties constantly, international treaties in intellectual property, free trade agreement, domestic legislation, and drug registration. The way that they are listed here is the way that are considered in our legal hierarchy, in our legal framework. So the Mexican Constitution, as I said, has the health as a human right, and that means that it entitles persons to receive access to essential medicine under the right to health provision. So human rights treaties reinforce this situation of our human right. And then Mexico also have TRIPS, like flexibilities, as the same as in Brazil and India. So what we see is that the free trade agreements really limits the government position when it wants to purchase in better prices. We cannot do it directly because we have these treaties that limit our options. And something that is also very difficult is that the access to generic market is limited by some internal sanitary regulation. And this limits the competition once the patent expires. Because when we give exclusivity in the patent issues, it is extended for more than the lifetime of the patent. That means for more than 20 years. So, including that exclusivity because of the Bollard clause. So this exclusivity doesn't help competition and makes, as you can see in the other, and makes that the generic cannot be ready or prepared when the lifetime of the patent ends. So we have difficulty really hard difficulties for generics. So the process of inclusion of a drug for public sector purchase at the healthcare price catalog and its price negotiation by the Coordinating Commission for Negotiation the Price of Medicine, it really needs to be revised, and the authority have to have more investigational power, and I will say also they need to have special funds for doing this. One of the strengths, like step number one, we have done it, is a consolidation of price negotiation of patent or only source drug. And is this just something that we've done recently, no? For the National Pharmaceutical Scheme purchases. So this is just recently. But the weaknesses is that it is not a legal entity. The members are political appointees with high turnaround, does not have own assets. They are not professional negotiators. There are people that it is there because somebody says they have to go to that place. And we don't have any administrative or judicial powers in case of economic abuse. We cannot do anything in case of what is happening now with ARVs in Mexico. Our recommendations is that we think that we really need to have a careful evaluation of the public health impact of free trade agreements. For example, NAFTA, it requires a lot of things for our patent medicines, but those things are not asked, for example, in Brazil. No? So for our patent medicines, it's much more difficult because we follow NAFTA. Set as a requirement for the inclusion at pharmaceutical benefits, now it is said that in the new guide that we have to have an impact on governmental budget, not just the cost-effective economic study, but also an impact on governmental budget. That's new. So we're going to start doing it, and let's see how it works. We really need to have fast-track agreement for generic drug registration because it's very hard to get them in, and also consolidated public sector purchases and negotiations have to be for all, but also for generics, because we put there it has to be for all, but also for generic. We really need to review our internal regulation because sometimes it's mainly our bylaws that are stopping the generic registrations because of our internal legal issues. And we need also to review the structure of the coordinating commission of the negotiating price because it has to be professionalized. We don't want people to be changing or people that are not expertise in negotiating prices to be there because perhaps they don't understand the limits of it. So these are our mainly recommendations so we can get lowering the prices. Thank you.